meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. And we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Maybe you're new to the area. There's people that move in and move out all the time. And maybe you're new to Christianity. Maybe you're just starting in your relationship with Jesus. And our mission at Merritt Assembly of God is to be a blessing, and we'd love to be a blessing to you in your spiritual development. Sunday mornings at 10:30, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We also meet Wednesday nights at 7. We'd love to have you be a part of that. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. I talked about them on yesterday's program. Their phone number is 321-749-1432. These are people who love Jesus. They love what they do. They've been in business for over 20 years. It's a family business, licensed and insured. They work all throughout Brevard County. They're based here in Brevard County, and they have a full array of products from artificial turf, premium artificial turf, not the cheap stuff that you see elsewhere. This actually looks good. It is, they do putting greens as well. They offer landscaping services, paver installation, landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They do everything from the planning to the planting, the designing and the maintenance, everything they need to do to transform your outdoor area into space your family will enjoy and they will treasure. And with the weather moderating now, it's a great time to make that outdoor space into what you would like it to be. Treasure Your Landscape can help with that. 321-749-1432. And we thank them for all that they do for the body of Christ, for the community, and for the Refresh radio program. So today we're going back to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 26 today. It says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him," capital H, "abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." So John writes to the church here, to these believers, and he writes to them with this reality in mind. He says, "I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you." There are people who specialize in the art of deception. There are people who actually go to develop their skills to be better deceivers. And I don't ever want to be that. I want to be a person who's pointing people to the truth in Jesus Christ. I want to be the person who is helping people to be saved, not be a stumbling block that causes people to abandon their faith. So, if you realize that there are people who have targeted believers with the intent to deceive, then you're going to see things with a greater clarity. It's not only people, but there are actually deceiving spirits. So, Paul wrote to Timothy that in the last days there would be deceiving spirits, and there would be lots of people following those deceiving spirits. Well, as a as a Christian, we are mandated to speak the truth and to speak the truth in love. So last year at this time, we were doing a redemptive compassion support group on Tuesday nights. It went for about 17 weeks. And we saw that how you actually minister to people who have been the targets of deception, and you speak the truth to them in a loving, compassionate, and redemptive manner. And it was a very educational experience for me. And we have a lady who led that. Most of them, I think there was one or two that I had to lead. But for the most part, she was the one who was bringing the information, and it was great. All of a sudden, I remember sitting back in the sound booth, and I was putting up the slides that needed to be done that particular night, and she was talking about, well, what does the spectrum, what does the process look like? If this looks like immaturity, what does maturity look like? And then, you know, where do you fit in that journey, in that spectrum between the two the two categories? And I remember sitting back there and said, man, that's a great thing. And I said, you know, there's people who are at different places in their emotional spectrum, in their spiritual spectrum, in their finances, in their age, and it's like we really need to know where God has brought us from, but also to where God wants to bring us to. And if you know that someone is at a different place, it really helps you to know how to address that situation, so you deal differently with an infant than you do deal with a toddler. You deal with a child different than you do a toddler. You deal with an adolescent different than a young child, and you deal with adults differently than you do with children. And then you deal with people who are at different places in their adult journey than you do people who've just, you know, launched out. You've got people who are getting ready to cross the finish line differently than you do people who are just starting out the race. And it's not because you love them any different. You just realize where they are and how does love operate in their life. And so the goal is to not deceive people. The goal is to get people to see the truth, because your journey with Jesus, abiding in him and abiding in the Father and abiding in the truth, your journey looks a whole lot better than it does if you are being lied to or deceived. So John writes here, and he says, but the anointing which you have received from him. So God gives us the things that we need in order to be successful in abiding in him. So I try and let the people know at Merit Assembly of God that God has blessed this community with them as people of faith in this community. And so sometimes that faith will be on display in a restaurant. Sometimes that faith will be on display in a grocery store. Sometimes that faith will be on display in a hospital. Sometimes it'll be a doctor's office. Sometimes it will be in traffic. And so I want to encourage you to realize that God will give you in advance the things that you're needed. And many times, that is people. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's the anointing from heaven. Anointing was for the king. It was for the priest. It was done a lot of times. It's something that we do when we're praying for the sick. The anointing is not something that is earth-based, but it's heavenly-based. It comes from heaven in order to commission us for a position or a place. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood. And so the anointing is the unction from heaven, if you will, that will set us up for success in representing our king as his ambassador in this geographic region that he has placed us in. And so that anointing is not something that is fleeting, but it is something that is abiding. So back in the 90s, I went on a missions trip. A friend of mine said, hey, you should really go on this missions trip. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And so I asked my wife, I prayed. My wife was convinced that going on this missions trip that I was going to die. And we almost did. We found ourselves in a very hostile environment. And we went there to see miracles, and God protected us. And we were very thankful. And so Pastor Merton Clark was one of those that went on that trip with us. There was also Pastor Bass from Coco that went on that trip. And he was giving the devotion one day. And I went up to him and I said, I'm praying that God's anointing will rest on you today. And I'll never forget this. He said, it is. And it will continue to do so. His anointing will remain on me. And I was like, that's a person who knows what God has called him to do, what God has empowered him to do. And he knows that that anointing is not something that just comes and goes, but it is something that is abiding in him. And so that anointing that abides, as well as the word that abides, which we talked about yesterday, it says, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Now, many people will look at this and they'll say, well, you don't really need other people teaching you. Well, I tell you, I have found a lot of useful information that came through anointed teachers. There are some things I've learned from teachers that I learned what not to do. There are things I've done that I've learned what not to do. But there have been some really incredible things that I learned from people who were anointed by God, and that anointing had taught them, and as a result, that lesson was passed from them to me, and it's gone on to be distributed through me to others as a result of that. So it's not that he's saying you don't need teachers here. It is that what we really appreciate are anointed teachers, and that same anointing will teach us in all things. So I've had people who were anointed for business that taught me things. I've had people who were anointed to walk in health that have taught me things. I've had people who were anointed as pastors who have taught me and put into practice the things that I was going to need to know in order to pastor. And so... it's not that you don't need teachers. What you need is you need anointed teachers, and you need the anointing upon yourself to also be an anointed student. That's what it says here. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. So, let's see. Bruce Wilkinson, I believe was his name, wrote several books, really an anointed teacher. And one of the things that he wrote was called The Seven Laws of the Learner. And I have that book. It's an older book. I think it goes back to the 90s, maybe even to the 80s. There was a teaching series on it, and I watched the teaching series as well as read the book. And in one of those, either the book or the video series, he describes how that in the seven laws of the learner, you've got to know how to teach people. And that his kids, who were younger at that stage, misunderstood the principle of, you know, the importance that the teacher has in the learning process. And they thought that it meant they didn't have to apply themselves. And he said, I might need to teach you the laws of the student. Because he starts that book off about how one professor operated in his life, and then his favorite professor operated in his life. And I believe that was at Dallas Theological Seminary, if I'm not mistaken. And he talked about how this one professor had a passion and the other was performing a job. And one was just putting out the information and the other was making sure that the student grabbed hold of it. And so the anointing that God has for us teaches us, and it is not just a Sunday morning lesson. It is not just information. It is about character development. It is about representing Christ. It is about how to be a young person, how to be a man in my case, how to be a woman if you are a female in this society. It teaches you what a man of God looks like, what a woman of God looks like. It teaches you how to live by faith. It teaches you how to be a witness, how to be filled with the Spirit. The anointing of God teaches you concerning all things because God is an expert in all things. He is an expert mechanic. He is an expert in construction. He is an expert in government. He is an expert in health. He is an expert in mental health. He is an expert in this time, and he is an expert in eternity. He is an expert in relationships. He's an expert in finances. And so the anointing teaches us, and sometimes that anointing is a direct download from heaven. Sometimes it comes through other people that God has anointed to teach us. So you hear that leaders are learners. They are people who are constantly learning. And so if you have a person that comes up and says, you can't teach me anything else, which I've had that happen before, then you can prepare yourself as an anointed person in God to know this, that person is getting ready to make a transition in their life. Many times you can see transitions that are coming. Sometimes you can hear transitions that are coming, and enables you to prepare yourself. I learned to drive in a 1951 Ford car, a Ford sedan. And here's how I learned to drive. My grandfather had a couple of acres, and my dad had bought this car. My dad loves cars. He prided himself, he still does, on being able to recognize what make, what model, what year a car was by their headlights or by their taillights or by their fin construction or their grill construction. He worked in a car dealership in the parts department early in his life, and he just loves cars. Owned a lot of great cars throughout his life. And So I learned in this car, and it was a manual transmission. And so I learned to drive by shifting gears. And what you had to do, you had to take your foot off the accelerator, you had to push the clutch in, and then you had to make the transition in the gear positioning, and then let your foot off the clutch and press the accelerator. And you had to learn to do all of that systematically. Well, as I got older, I got to realize that in order to go faster, to get away from the stop sign and get up to the speed limit, you had to learn to transition or to change gears. And the way, if you did it too soon, you would kill the engine. If you did it too fast, you would kill the engine. You had to learn how to do it at just the right time. And many people would look at a gauge and they would say, okay, when you reach this number of RPMs, that's when you make the transition, you change gears. But I learned that if you began to listen to the engine, you would know when it was time to make a transition. And so I can tell you that if you and I are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, and if we're sensitive to what people are saying, we will be prepared knowing when transition is coming. And so God teaches us by his anointing how to listen to him, and that prepares us. The anointing teaches us what is true. There is no anointing from heaven that will teach you how to be a liar. If a person is a liar, then you know that they're either very early in their character development, maybe they didn't have any character development influences in their life, any godly character influence. And so I've always encouraged our congregation, I encouraged our kids to be people who are messengers of truth. I'm lousy at lying. Lousy. So I don't do it. If everybody knows that you're lying, then you're only doing yourself harm. You're not really accomplishing anything. And here's the other thing about lying. The Bible says that all liars, people who are lying and keep on lying, that they will have their part in the lake of fire. It's not a trivial matter. Being people who know the truth and communicate the truth, even in times when the truth is not being highly regarded, is not optional for the believers. It is something that is mandatory. It's not a lie, and just as it has taught you the anointing from heaven that is abiding in you, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him, capital H, that's meaning you will abide in Christ. So here's one of the first lessons that the anointing will teach you. Anointed teachers, it's abide in Christ. I was praying before I came in today, and I was thinking about all of the classes and all of the books on teaching people how to pray. And, you know, that many people approach that as a duty instead of a privilege. And it is both. I mean, you know, there's admonishment to pray continually. The disciples said, teach us to pray, and Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. So there are some things that we can learn, but I thought of it like this. Talking to God is talking to a person I'm doing life with in a covenant. the closest example that I have to that is my wife. And I don't view talking with my wife as a duty. I talk to my wife, I view it as a privilege, as a person who loves me and a person that I love wholeheartedly. And so there are ways that I can learn to communicate with her better, but I don't ever get so frustrated and say, that's it, I don't know how to do this, and therefore I'm not going to talk to my wife anymore. That would not be a course of wisdom. By the way, let me share with you an anointed principle. Don't give your spouse the silent treatment. Don't ice them. Don't ghost them. Don't shut them out of your life. Talk, communicate. Recognize that it is the little foxes that spoil the vine, and you want to make sure that that communication with your spouse is something that is healthy, that is holy, and it's not a act that you do to damage the person. It is a person that you are saying, you know, I want this relationship to be as healthy as it could possibly be. That's what abiding in Christ is. Oh no, I've got to abide in Him. That's not the way to approach this. God wants us to thrive in our abiding relationship with Him every minute of every hour of every day for as long as we possibly can. And then when we get to heaven, we are going to only be strengthened and empowered with incorruptible, immortal bodies that will cause us to abide in Him better than we ever have. That's the privilege. Heaven is sweet because Jesus is there, and there's not going to be any distractions. There's not going to be any interruptions. There's not going to be any fatigue. The anointing teaches us the truth, and the truth is life is better when we abide in Christ. I pray today that you will do that mentally, physically, and spiritually, and that you will have a blessed day of eternal life on this day, March the 20th, 2025. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.